Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Jason Kabinda in a few moments. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Before we get to Jason Kabinda, our play-by-play call of the day on his 80th birthday, John Sterling on the Yankees radio network.
And the pitch swung on, hit high in the air to deep left. Acuna going back on the track, at the wall, she is gone! Is he amazing? Kyle Higashioka has three hits, and they're all home runs on this homestand. Higashioka, the home run stroker. He does it again. A blast into the left field seats. The Yankees take a 5-0 lead.
Just the ninth player since 1920 whose first three major league hits were all home runs. And it happened yesterday on the 4th of July, the third one, on John Sterling's 80th birthday. All right. Earlier today, I had a chance to talk with former Nittany Lion, Jason Kabinda, now with the Oakland Raiders. Jason, since the end of your, quote, Penn State career, what kind of whirlwind has that been to get you to this particular day?
It's been a long journey, obviously. A lot of college football players, the end goal is to be able to, go to the league, go to the NFL, and make some noise. You take it one year at a time, and as you get to your junior and senior year, depending on how you're doing on the field, and for me it was looking good. That was a good shot that I'd be able to go to the NFL. So that started becoming one of my individual goals, something that I was working towards. So being able to do that right now and kind of living out my dream and going through OTAs and rookie minicamp, mandatory minicamp, all those things. It's awesome.
When you got to OTAs and mandatory minicamp and so forth, you want to know right away, how well can I compete? How well do I stack up against other people? When it was over with, what was your thought?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. You grow up, you watch in the NFL, and you watch guys like Derek Carr and Marshawn Lynch, and then be able to be on the same field with them and competing against them, it's hard to describe. But being able to be out there and competing against those guys, realize, really not far off, I think that's where the motivation really kicks in and makes you want to work even harder, knowing that, you're closer than you think,
Did it help at all in the transition to have a Saeed Blacknall, for example, also out there with you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's tough when when a draft happens and you end up where you end up, and then, a lot of times you don't really know anybody. So being able to have Saeed there and just having somebody there who's going through the same thing that I'm going through, who I was already very close with, helps a ton.
What was the process like after the draft, and how many – a lot of people don't realize that, a lot of teams get in touch with you after that. Did you find that there was a lot of interest in what made Oakland – what made sense with them?
Yeah, Coach Gruden had called me, and had let me know that they really wanted me, really only a few picks before the draft had ended. So I had a good idea that, if I wasn't getting picked up with those last few picks, that was probably where I was going to go. He was pitching it real hard. And, I had a few other offers from other teams, but, Oakland's offer was easily the best one. So it was pretty much, brainer, to be honest. And being able to go play for a guy like Coach Gruden, I think I'm the kind of guy who's really his type of player. That's what he said on the phone. So I'm just really excited to get this opportunity started.
Also at Penn State, it was mandatory for every starter except for the quarterback to be on a special team or multiple special teams. In order to make a 45-man roster, versatility is important. Do you feel like you have an advantage over some other guys because you were forced to play special teams here?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think that's a pride thing. You know, as you keep going, you know, higher and higher in football, you know, in high school, you know, I'll be completely honest, you know, special teams didn't really matter that much. I think it wasn't until college that I realized how important special teams were. And then obviously now getting to the NFL, you know, special teams really is a huge part of the game. I mean, it really, really is. It's a very important part. It can be the difference in the game, in fact. So, you know, knowing that this is my rookie year, you know, most rookies, you know, you're playing special teams. And, you know, it's not easy necessarily going from being that guy who maybe only played one special team because he started on offense or defense or whatever it is, you know, multiple years. But for me, I've already done it. You know, I've already played special teams. I have no problem doing that. So I really hope that, you know, that attitude that I have towards special teams and being very willing to play any special team, you know, helps me out the long run.
You also were an every-down linebacker here, too. Does that give you an advantage based on the competition around you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think just not only being an every-down linebacker, but being a guy who, you know, played the middle, had to make all the calls and adjustments. I mean, you got to really know the defense inside and out, and I'm taking that same approach, you know, to learning this defense and learning this system right now. You know, I'm trying to pick everything up as fast as I can, make sure I'm being confident, you know, in my calls and stuff. Very easy, you know, being a rookie and making all the calls, but you got to have the confidence, got to be able to step up in there and do it. So it's been pretty fun so far.
Is it a more complicated scheme or is it just different verbiage?
Definitely more complicated, I would say, and different verbiage. So it was tough to, and it's also tough just to have to flush out everything you did, you know, in previous years and know that no longer means anything, you know what I mean? And being able to install completely new stuff and completely new defense.
What was it like when Christian Hackenberg was there for a week?
It was cool, you know, seeing him, being able to see him out there. You know, it's tough. And at the time, we had four quarterbacks. No, really wasn't getting any reps. But it was good having another guy who I played with, you know, in that same locker room, being able to talk to and see him and stuff.
Jason, what's the regiment right now with camp just a couple of weeks away?
Just working out, just getting ready for camp, you know, making sure I'm staying in shape, continuing to work out. I mean, you really have 3 more weeks, so really just getting everything you can out of these 3 weeks in terms of development of your body and making sure you're just ready to go in your top shape, all that stuff.
When you're at OTAs and mini camp and so forth, what became apparent to you where you said, okay, I need to work on this. I need to be better at that?
Just when, you know, you go out there and anytime either you make a mistake or and I think for me right now, it's just about understanding the defense a bit more so that I make sure I'm putting myself in position to make my plays. You know, so for me, it's about better understanding, more studying film. And I think just one other thing I need to be better at is just pre-snap. I've always been a real smart linebacker. I think in the league, I think a lot of times you can make even more plays if you're able to pick up what the quarterback is trying to say, how he's audible, what the offensive linemen are doing, reading what side they're sliding to. You know what I mean? If you can really get into those minute details and really pick up on those things, like those things, like that guy's that DJ, like Derek Johnson, the 12-13 year vet,
right?
Multiple Pro Bowl guy, stuff like that. He picks up. Well, if I could get myself to that level, then I think I'm gonna really, really love what I'm gonna be able to do on the field.
Is there a veteran that, you know? Look, I know jobs are at stake, so I've got that part. But is there a veteran you've looked at, talked with, and tried to be a sponge and absorb items from that you think can help you?
Oh yeah, Derek Johnson, easily. I mean, I've been in his ear 24/7 as much as I possibly can, asking him question after question. I think it's a really neat opportunity to be able to play with a guy like him who's had so much success on the field, especially, you know, playing linebacker. So, you know, he's a guy who I'm constantly asking for feedback. You know, when I watch him watch his reps on the field. I'm asking what he saw when he made a play. You know, what did he see? What made him react the way he did? All those kinds of things.
And last, I mean, when you look at your career, you go through high school, you were the best player, confident player. You get here to Penn State, it didn't take long for you to start. What's it like for you right now where it's a different level? The weeding out process has continued because, you know, you got weeded out to the top level in college football. You now, it gets weeded out to the very top level in professional football. So what's it like for you? Are there nerves? Is there confidence? How are you approaching this?
You know, I think it depends on how you prepare. You know, for me, I know my confidence comes from my preparation. I know that I'm able to go out there and work hard, knowing that I've outworked other people. And for some people, that's maybe different for someone. For someone else, they may be able to go out confident because of how much film they've watched, or go out confident because they know how fast they are. You know what I mean? For me, it's my work ethic. So, knowing how hard I work and being able to train with other guys and see how they work and stuff, and knowing the kind of work I put in, that's what's able to give me the confidence to go out there and play the way I need to play. And at the end of the day, if you're not confident, you know, you're most likely you're not going to play well, and you got to. You know, you ain't got nothing to lose. You know, you've gone this far. You know what I mean? Might as well just go all out.
Well, you're a credit to the place. Your family's a credit to the place, and I know a lot of people here hope you do really well, because work ethic and personality, you will have earned it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, man. Thank you, Steve.
Jason Kabinda, now with the Oakland Raiders. Tomorrow, by the way, Andrew Callahan, who's leaving to go and cover the New England Patriots. We'll talk with Andrew Callahan tomorrow on this show. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Great to have you with us on the show today. Sorry, I was signing business cards. So, apologize for that there, Sean.
No problem. I figured it was either that or you were talking to Jack. One of the two.
No, somebody made a request. You know me. I take care of... I actually, like, respond to them all.
TCOB. Those really should be your middle initials. TCOB.
Well, no. There, somebody takes the time. They want something. You want to be able to do it for them. What the heck? This one's actually from... Where's this one from? It is from... Port St. Lucie, Florida. So, nice. So, you know, I just sit there and... I mean, it's only seven letters, the suit. And, you know, and then you go from there.
Wait, what?
Now, I thought the interview with Jason Kabinda, I thought, was compelling. This is the life of an undrafted rookie that all of us know is talented because we all watched him play. So we know he's an every down linebacker. There are certain areas where, with Jason that... Okay, let's get to his pluses. Number one, he's really, really good at knowing defenses. and reading offenses. So that goes back to the middle part where we talked about pre-snap. Notice the difference he made in the Penn State defense when he got back in there against Ohio State in the game where everyone remembers Marcus Allen blocking the Durbin field goal and Grant Haley taking it for a touchdown. Everyone remembers that part. But that was also a game where they thought in getting Jason Kabinda back, who got hurt in the opener. In other words, he didn't play against Pitt in the second game. And Brandon Bell, who got hurt during the Pitt game. Well, finally, they got them both back, and they were expecting them to play maybe 25 plays. Maybe 25 plays. Remember, it's their first game back in 6 weeks. Maybe they're going to play 25 plays between the two of them. Ended up playing, each one of them ended up playing over 60. Remember how Kabinda moved the defensive lineman around and how active he was that night? It was a difference maker. So that's a plus on the pro level. He knows where people are supposed to be. He can read offenses really, really well. I think he plays the run pretty well. Now, he will avoid blockers. He can be a little bit better at shedding them. And in the pass game, he's good, but he has to be a little bit better in terms of the depth of his drops. Just a little bit better, like a yard or two deeper, and understand that an effective drop is so important. So he can be a little bit better there. On special teams, he'll be terrific. He will be terrific on special teams because, again, James Franklin play all the starters except for the quarterback. They all play on a special team. Minimum. Some, obviously, there's some that play multiple special teams. Well, that's for the current group because, again, you have your better athletes out there, which helps out your special teams because they're so important here. They're critical here. James Franklin wants to win games in any possible way he can, include special teams. And number two, it prepares them for the pros, where they go to play on special teams and they're looking around saying, I've covered a kick before. I've covered a punt before. That's something Derek Williams told us, that he had to really change his mindset when he got to the NFL. Suddenly he's running down. He's been on kickoffs before, but receiving. Well, yeah, he received kickoffs for the Detroit Lions, but guess what? They also had to have him cover them. You only have 45 guys. So suddenly he had to get used to going down and covering on kickoffs. Jason Kabinda doesn't have to do that. He's been through this. This will not be unusual for him because everyone here is required to be on at least one special team. So for him, it's going to be natural, and that's going to help him make the team. That will help him make the team. So those are some of the areas that we talked about during the course of the interview. You missed any of it, you want to hear it again, stevejonesshow.com. Andrew Callahan is going to be on the show tomorrow as he exits the Penn State beat and joins the New England Patriots beat. Best of luck to him. Excellent writer, excellent perspective, and somebody that I think a lot of people over time really, really liked. Really liked. So, yeah, it's we wish him nothing but the best. Nothing but the best. S-U-I-T. Just want to make sure.
You got it.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Never hurts.
Yeah. I did this one in French.
With an L-A in front?
Yeah. So six letters. Les suit.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, what the heck? I don't know. Oh, my goodness. How about the conversation we had the other day with Dieter Kurtenbach about Boogie Cousins?
Oh, he's awesome.
About Boogie being an acquired taste. Boogie is an acquired taste. No doubt about that. This may be one of those that say the Warriors are successful and they win again next season. Cousins can then parlay it, and Cousins becomes a one of the reasons why. I didn't say the key reason why. A team has Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, you know, Sean Livingston, Steph Curry. I think they're all going to be Iguodala. They're all going to be the biggest reasons why. But if this guy gets in there and helps, he'll be able to get a big money contract next year.
I think there's a lot of people. Yeah, there's a lot of people out there. It's like, oh, geez, they're going to win another title next year. But the thing is, though, when you talk about professional sports, I think lots of people love dynasties. I mean, look over the years, in the NBA, the Chicago Bulls, in college basketball, UCLA, John Wooden. And look at all the football teams that have been dynasties, the Steelers, the Cowboys, the 49ers, and the Patriots. It's all, there's a big connection between pro sports and dynasties.
There was an anomaly that took place in the 2016 year in the collective bargaining agreement that opened the door, believe it or not, inadvertently, for Kevin Durant to go to Golden State. Well, a lot of teams spent money in 2016, Sean. And guess what? In 2018, there are a lot of teams that don't have the money to spend. Boogie Cousins literally had zero offers. Zero. He went to Golden State first, and they said, yeah.
This is taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks to Jason Kabinda for being on the show today. Jason joined us 3 weeks before he starts training camp with the Oakland Raiders. Tomorrow, Andrew Callahan will join us on the show along with the Mystic from the East. I had somebody else come up to me yesterday, and in fact, it was two different people, and they said, "Your brother's like the everyday guy. He's like the common man." He has the opinions of like the average guy. And I said, "Well, that's the key." I said, "Is the suit runs around the station telling everybody he's just average?" And then there's, echoing the opinions of the common man. We all can't have, I have hobnobbed with Marco Andretti. You can't have that kind of personality.
No. Really, Sage Karam, Marco Andretti,
And you can't base whether you like somebody or not as to whether they blow off suit light for an autograph.
No.
Because it won't be the last time. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Something that we talked about with what Paul Meyerberg from USA Today on Tuesday's show, and that was a great segment with him about injury reports and the possibility that they would be used sports gambling. Now, this is where there is a domino effect to this. When the Supreme Court made that decision, and it's been interesting so far to see how it has played out. Now, the fact that Delaware actually got there first before New Jersey was a bit of a surprise, even though Delaware was one of the four grandfathered states to begin with. It was New Jersey that kept fighting this fight. And you figured New Jersey would have something, all the ducks in a row the day, hey, okay, because they spent the $8 million to get this home. But regardless, you now have three states, and I think within weeks, that'll at minimum double, possibly even get up to maybe eight states, seven or eight. But I would think that West Virginia, Mississippi, and quite possibly Pennsylvania may double that number to six before the football season begins. So how does everyone, now the next part in the domino, is how does everyone react to this? I think the Big Ten athletic directors were looking at the integrity of the game, have looked at the NFL model, the fact that the NFL does this, and all sports do this. They may do it in different ways. The NHL tells you it's upper body, lower body, but Bobby's not playing tonight. Major League Baseball has the disabled list. The NBA has to put out its injury report, and the NFL puts out multiple injury reports during the course of a week. So this is in college football, the Big Ten looking at saying, look, if they're doing that, and we know why they're doing it. Everyone knows why they put out injury reports. They put them out because of the gambling aspect of it. Well, if they're doing that, we need to think about it as well. It's going to make coaches uncomfortable. There's no question about that. It'll make coaches uncomfortable. Because some, like Northwestern, are wide open with it. Jim Harbaugh, for goodness sakes, didn't even put out a depth chart. So you have a wide range of if Pat Fitzgerald's putting out injury reports, and Penn State puts out an injury report of the guys who are out for the season, but Pat Fitzgerald puts out one on a weekly basis. So there's a difference there. And then there's Jim Harbaugh, who won't even release a depth chart, and then when Colorado puts together a fake Michigan depth chart, a fake Colorado depth chart, just having fun with them, Harbaugh says, I don't think that's funny. Oh, that's okay, because the rest of the world thought it was a riot. If you need Colorado's depth chart, the one the week before was legit. So how do you handle it? So that's one domino. Now the next domino is, to me, how many states get this? And we're going through an election cycle right now where all 435 seats in the House are up and one-third of the Senate seats are up. How will the new Congress feel about a 1% integrity fee for the leagues? Because the leagues, even though they have baseball and the NBA, and I think the PGA Tour testified before the Indiana legislature, and Indiana's trying to fast-track sports betting now. The NBA and Major League Baseball testified before West Virginia, and they've gone around, they've done this, I think Illinois is another place, New York, they've gone around and talked to all these legislative bodies. And part of it is they're trying to convince them about integrity fees. Well, I think they got a pretty good indication from West Virginia that when they finally put their bill together, and they're not into sports book just yet, when they put it together, there was no integrity fee. So when there was no integrity fee, the NBA and Major League Baseball then lobbied the current governor of West Virginia very, very hard to get his support behind it, and he finally changed his mind and put his support behind it, but the legislature looked at him and said, no. We're not going to do that, which then brought up the interesting aspect. Because before sports betting became legal in all these states outside of Nevada, before states had the ability to make it legal outside of Nevada, so far only two have, what happened was the leagues found out they had no leverage, something they didn't know and realize until it became reality you could do it. There's no integrity fee in New Jersey. There's no integrity fee in Delaware. And West Virginia told them there's going to be no integrity fee there. Where's their leverage? That's why they want to go to Congress. They want Congress to get some nationalization to this. And they think, as leagues, this is their best shot to get the integrity fee, thus get an injection of more cash. Would the NCAA join that? And if so, what would the NCAA do with its 1%? Would they use it for concussion research? Would they use it to give to football and basketball players? Would they use it to spread out to all athletes? Would they keep it in-house? What would the NCAA do with its 1%? What would they do with it? And that's a big question. Because I think the only way that the leagues are going to get their 1% is through national legislation. It's not going to be state by state. You cannot be the National Football League and look at the legislature in Pennsylvania and say, hey, we want a 1% integrity fee. Okay, what's your leverage? What are you going to do? Move the Eagles out? You're going to move the Steelers out? The NFL is not going to do that. They're not even remotely going to entertain it. Thus, the NFL has no leverage in Pennsylvania. They're not going to move the Eagles out. They're not going to move the Steelers out. The NHL is not moving the Penguins and the Flyers out. The Sixers are not going to be moved by the NBA. And the Phillies and Pirates are not going to be moved by Major League Baseball. It's not going to happen. So they have no leverage. They have no sway over what's going on in states. Their only hope to get the 1% that they want is going to be through national legislation. And it's not going to go through the current, in all likelihood, I cannot envision it going through the current Congress unless it's a lame duck session in November, December. Congress has other items they have to take care of that are at the moment of a higher priority. The Senate is going to have to consider, obviously, a Supreme Court nominee that's going to be announced on Monday. And the House of Representatives has several items they're looking at, including immigration legislation. So gambling legislation is not on the priority list. That's why the election in November, where you're going to seat a new House of 435 members, the vast majority being reelected, we know that. And one-third of the Senate up for election. And by the way, the vast majority of those who are up for election happen to be, you know, it always goes in cycles. Sometimes it's okay, the Republicans have more seats that are in play in this particular cycle. Well, in this cycle, it turns out it's the Democrats that have more seats in play. So you're going to have, obviously, a House and a Senate. It's going to be that group that's elected in November that will be the ones that will consider legislation that the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball would like to see, and the PGA Tour as well, to see how it plays out for them to get integrity fees. So these are the dominoes that have taken place to this point. Because, as Mark Cuban said right out of the gate, the day that this was announced by the Supreme Court, Mark Cuban said the value of every NBA franchise has doubled. Well, it hasn't, because what happened was the assumption that legislatures would go along with integrity fees was bounced pretty fast, because I think legislators looked around and said, why do we have to do this? In West Virginia, looking around saying, the only professional sports we have here are minor league baseball and the Greenbrier. No, we don't need to give an integrity fee of 1% to the NFL. No. NBA? No. We can do sportsbook any way we want. We don't have to give you an integrity fee. It doesn't affect us. In fact, in West Virginia, they want to give some of the money to West Virginia University and some to Marshall. Now, I think that's part of the state appropriation. But supposedly, that's in the bill there. So that's where we are. And again, the big money bettor, who's been betting Nevada or has been betting offshore,
are going to continue. I mean, they may bet here out of convenience, or they may continue to bet offshore. But the difference maker is going to be the woman or the man that wants to go into a casino, or maybe if it's available online, and bet $10, $25, $50, $100, $200, maybe $500, maybe $1,000 on something that were not inclined to do it before or may not have known how to do it before. Now they know they can. In fact, I can see somebody down the hall doing that. I believe you and I have been around him before. Daddy needs to make tuition. Well, you know, I don't know what that means. Sean's just shaking his head.
Pell Grants for my best friend.
Pell Grants for your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's best friend is the horse number five in the fourth race. Come on, I need tuition money. Run! Run!
Don't end up in a can of glue. Go, go, go.
I put everything on Alpo's dream. Oh. No offense. The name should have told you. And around the clubhouse turn, Elmer's glue is running last. Oh, no. The name should tell you that it might not have a chance. But, I mean, that's the difference maker. It's going to be the person that never really bet before, or, you know, didn't know how, had never been to Nevada, whatever. And they want to put 10, 25, 50, 100, 500, 1,000 on an event or a prop bet or something. In 5 years, it'll all be different. In 5 years, you'll have 30 states, in my opinion, at minimum, that will have sportsbook. Because, again, states will see this as an avenue to cash. And states are cash-strapped. So this is an avenue to do it. Now, you notice what the Pennsylvania tax... See, the Pennsylvania tax number is the biggest of all. It's 36%. Jersey is 17%. I think Nevada's like 7. But, all right. We'll take a break. And again, everybody has their own ways of doing it. You know, hard work, pick up an extra job, or put everything on the fourth race at Aqueduct. I mean, it's, you know. Then they end up selling digital media. We'll come back with more in a moment. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Kimberly Jones from NFL Network.
People approach me about Saquon, the great player he is. You look at his skills. Every single thing he does wins games in the NFL. Speed, strength, power, explosiveness, will to win, and spirit.
The Steve Jones Show, 3 to 5 weekdays on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the WKOK app.
The will to win that she talks about with Saquon is really important because, I mean, again, for the elite athlete, you have to have the want. The want, it has to be so deep inside you to do well. It then leads you to having a great work ethic. Now, you have to be fortunate, too, but that's what you have. And Saquon has a great work ethic to go with his natural talent. As you know, what I don't like athletes who squander their talent. I don't like that. You've been given a gift, and you squandered it. There's so many people that want to take your place and be in your spot. It's one of the reasons, for example, like a Terrell Owens draws the reaction that he draws. Because he whines, moans, and complains about not getting into the Hall of Fame for, you know, 3 years and so forth. You know, I mean, all the Super Bowls he won. Oh, that's right. He complains about it. Then he finally gets in. Now, is he appreciative? Is he grateful? He's not even going to the ceremony. He's going to deliver his speech to his school. No, I think it's great he's going to deliver a speech to his school, but do that on a different day. Do it at a commencement, something like that. And then you have a guy like Jerry Kramer, whom we had on the show the day before he got elected, that waited decades. Decades. Not 3 years, decades. With Andy Russell on the show. Andy Russell should be in the Hall of Fame. And here's a guy getting older who's done a lot in giving back to the community, he and his wife both. But he should be in. Jack Ham's the first guy to tell you he should be in. If anybody knows, he ought to know. But he's not in. It's disappointing, I'm sure, for him. That's why I don't like athletes. I always admire athletes professionally that don't take their talent for granted. Don't take your talent for granted in anything you do. If you have a talent at something, work at it. Be the best you can be at it. And don't be the one where people say, well, you know what? I feel like Bobby squandered it. Right? Be the one where people say, boy, I really admire this guy. He gets, he's got all the talent in the world. He's our hardest worker. So that's a tone for everybody else. You know, be that kind of person. You have to have the want, that inside of you. You want this as badly as anybody. And then execute that want with work ethic. Strong work ethic. Because, look, we all have a deep desire and a want. I mean, I want to win the Masters. I don't remotely have the talent to do it. I could practice every single day. And if I broke 100, we'd be hugging each other. But some people find a niche and they're really, really good at it. Okay? Everybody has a talent that's different than everybody else. Sean's a great, hardworking radio personality. Throws his heart and soul into it every day. Really knows the business. Some people are great at selling digital media.
And we got one of them. And we got one of them.
Who joined the staff? Did I miss something?
No.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.